Big.
Shiny.
Goons.
We just touch them all, Joe!
Yeah! You beauty!
It's only game.
Hello and welcome everyone to the show that gets people talking about something else. This is Big Shiny Goons, this is episode 10. I'm your host Thomas and we have a great guest today. They're an analytically conscious Leafs fan. You can catch her on Yahoo Sports Zone Time with past guest Julian McKenzie. Rahef Issa is here. Rahef, how's it going?
Good, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. I'm sure you're having a wonderful time with this season. But how has it kind of been for you being kind of with the Leafs and everything so far?
It's been good. I think a little bit challenging since I'm in another time zone. So that's been my commitment to the Leafs has never been stronger, seeing as I have to stay up till all hours of the night to watch games. But it's been great. I think this season has actually been pretty fun for the most part. Watching Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner destroy the North has been very exciting. And besides like the goalie controversy, or what we can call the goalie controversy in the last little bit, I honestly think that this has been a pretty good season and the Leafs are a very strong team.
Yeah, it's kind of like this opposite weird world we're kind of living in Toronto. It's they're strong 5-on-5 and they're not dependent on the power play or anything. And then it's just like, but they're just not getting anything kind of producing.
Yeah, I mean, the power play is just something else at this point. I don't even know what we can say about it. I have no idea what they're going to do about that. But at least something that's very reassuring is that they genuinely have been a very, very good 5-on-5 team, which we haven't seen them be to this degree in the past. You know, they've always been sort of maybe like top 10 in Corsi and expected goals and things of that nature. But I mean, especially in expected goals, they've been like top 5 in the league this year with Colorado and Carolina and Vegas. So they're a very good 5-on-5 team, and we just really need that power play to not be absolute garbage.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know, again, like what you said, I don't even know what to say about it really. Like, they're generating chances, they have the talent, they have everything else, but it's like just not the luck. Like, maybe it's just some,
it literally
like goaltending.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense to me.
I know, like, even so, like, I've been starting to covering the Minnesota Wild, and like they had they began the season like historically bad power play, like ever since I think it was like the last time that a team started out the season with, like, I think they went 1-40 something, and it was like the 40s. Like, it was like it was like the 1940s was the last time that like a team went that bad. But like with them, it's like, okay, the talent isn't there. Like, Kaprizov and Fiala are great, but it's like with the Leafs, it's like you're pointing at these guys and be like, okay, they should, they, you know, like they do other stuff, you know?
Yes, it's like, that's the thing. Maybe I would expect the Minnesota Wild to set a historically bad power play run, because I mean, the Minnesota Wild are great and they really have been this season, but at the end of the day, we can't look at Minnesota's offense and compare it to Toronto's and say these two things are the same and like they should be going through the same types of power play droughts. It's what's happening with Toronto is just so weird. And for the longest time before Sheldon Keefe and Manny Malhotra stacked the power play for a little bit there and finally put William Nylander in that five-man group, I had no idea what was going on and why they weren't willing to try that. But then even still with them stacking the units, it still has not been producing. And it's just so strange, especially considering the crazy run they went on at the beginning of the season where they were like shooting 35% or something ridiculous like that on the power play. So I expect a team as talented as the Leafs with the four group that the Leafs have to be able to maintain like a high shooting percentage on the power play. Maybe not 35%, that's insane, but at least 20%. That's something I would expect this Leafs team to be able to sustain. So seeing them go on this drought is just mind-boggling. And honestly, I'm not sure if it's the setup, if it's purely just luck. I'm reluctant to just purely blame it all on luck, because I mean, it does seem like the structure itself, there's something different with the group this year, at least in the last little bit. So I'm hesitant. I don't think it's fair or okay to just blame all of their struggles on simply just bad luck. Because if you put stock in numbers like expected goals on the power play, which they're not perfect in a 5-on-4 situation, but they definitely have not been producing like a top 5 group on the power play in that regard, like they had been at the beginning of the year during this last little bit. It's been like top 10, top 12-ish. So even that to me says that it's something else other than luck that's happening right now with the power play. And I just don't know what to make of that and what's going to happen in the playoffs.
Yeah, like I don't even know if it's something with the season, but kind of looking around the league more and more, it's like it might be because of just this like weird COVID season, but I'm noticing like a lot more streaks. Like Leafs, like first half power play was like, it was almost a guarantee that they were going to score a goal on it. And then like just second half completely dead. And then like you notice a lot more teams, like obviously the Sabres losing streak, Columbus losing streak, but then you notice more teams are going like on crazy winning streaks. Like again, like the Wild are just in the middle of this one where they won 7 straight and Leafs have been there before, but it's like, it's almost this weird, like it might be the divisions because you're playing against these teams where you could just like completely fall into a crater. But like, have you noticed anything that's like, it seems like these extended periods of just like nothing, or it's like completely something?
It's like sort of along those lines. I wonder if teams, maybe since you're playing the same exact teams over and over and over again, I wonder if like scouting the Leafs power play has sort of been easier for teams in the North this year. Like at the beginning, once you sort of figure out the setup and, you know, being able to play them over and over and over again, you sort of realize and remember the quirks, whether it's like who's entering the zone, what Mitch Marner's going to do, who he's going to pass to. I mean, we all know he's going to pass to Austin Matthews. So, I mean, it might have something to do with it. Like you said, that playing the way that the division format is this year, that definitely could be part of it.
Yeah, and it might even be like the opposition teams like putting more, like you said, like more stock into scouting with like, before maybe Vancouver approached it, like, we're only seeing these guys like twice the whole year. So why like scout their power play like crazy? Where now they're like, oh, we're facing them 8 times. So like, we should probably know exactly what they're going to be doing there those 8 times. And it can really change like the kind of makeup of a penalty kill. So like just putting more investment into it, really.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I think that definitely has something to do with it. And then I'm not really sure, like I'm not there coaching the team, but I wonder if maybe the power play itself has become a little bit predictable, and maybe if they need to change up, I mean, whoever's playing in the bumper, like maybe put William Nylander there for a little bit, or at the net front. Like they had so much success last season playing Nylander net front, because he would be able to not just, whereas when you put Thornton or Simmons there, they're kind of just a stationary, like they don't really move. But when you have Nylander at the net front, he can move to the side of the net and make some types of different passes, whether it's to Matthews at the circle or to Tavares in the bumper or whatever it is. Like that was a very successful setup last season. So I kind of want to see them return to that and see if that helps them out a bit.
Yeah.
Especially because if they're playing Montreal, which it sort of seems likely at this point that their first round opponent will be Montreal, you really, really need the Leafs advantage to be prominent at 5-on-4, because even though Montreal has fallen off a bit towards the end of the season, they're still a strong 5-on-5 team and they always play the Leafs well at 5-on-5. So you really want the Leafs to have a big advantage at 5-on-4 so that, you know, they can really take these games with more certainty than just playing them at 5-on-5, because Montreal is strong there and they always play the Leafs well, always.
Yeah, like what are your expectations into these playoffs? Like if they do play Montreal, like I'm not saying like make a for sure cemented prediction, but like do you have any like grandiose expectations from this year?
I definitely have expectations for the Leafs this year. This cannot be another first round and out type of season. If it will, I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know what to say at that point. No, I have expectations for the Leafs. They've played the North Division well, whether it's Montreal, Edmonton, or Winnipeg. They've played all 3 teams well. And I mean, I expect them to go to the conference finals, if not farther. Like, they're a very good team and they're playing the North Division well. Honestly, I know a lot of people have been picking Winnipeg or Edmonton as like a tougher matchup, but I mean, I wouldn't sleep on Montreal. They, like I said, they always play the Leafs well, and that their 5-on-5 game is strong. So I think I worry about them playing Montreal at the beginning, especially if they can't get this power play worked out. But I have high expectations for the Leafs. What about you?
Yeah, I honestly, like, I love just like shitting all over them just because it's so like, it's just fun for the content, but like,
yeah.
You can't look at that roster and be like, they're not going to basically take whatever two series that they have. Like, I think especially in the playoffs, what I've kind of noticed in the past years, is been like a lot of depth matters. Like, you look at Montreal and it's like, okay, they're kind of deep, but it's like not crazy, like no game breaking depth, like on their forward line. And then like Winnipeg and Edmonton are maybe the two like most top heavy like teams in like the league. So you like don't really see anything of note coming from them, like in a whole 7-game series. So, and I think Toronto's the upper hand, but again, you never know, that like they might just get goalied again by like Carey Price just turns into like 2010 or 11 Carey Price or whatever.
God, yeah. That would be the Leafs luck, of course.
of course. Or maybe even not Carey Price. It'd be like Caden Primo. Like everyone else is injured and then like Caden Primo just comes in.
It has to be like the third string goalie or something absolutely freaking ridiculous like that.
Yeah, it'd be insane. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where it is. And you were saying how you're obviously moved in a different time zone. So how has that kind of been this season? Like staying up late and trying to interact with this team and everything?
Honestly, I'm not going to lie. It's been very hard. So for those of you who don't know, I'm currently in the Middle East, which is 7 hours ahead of Toronto time. So the games usually start for me at around 2 a.m. If in Toronto, they're starting at 7. So it's quite difficult, especially the beginning of the season when I was still in school. So it was hard for me because I had a lot of like exams and assignments to work on. So it was difficult for me to stay up. I would either watch the games over later, or I would try my hardest to stay up as much as possible. Or I would honestly, for a few of the games, I would have to just end up watching the highlights. Like it's very difficult.
Yeah.
It's a different experience because I remember for all the seasons in the past, I was that crazy, insane Leaf fan who maybe missed like one game a season, if that at all. So it's been very different for me watching the league here. And then also on top of that, because of the way that the league is set up this year, where you're only facing like 6 teams and it's those same 6 teams every single game, I also feel even more disconnected from the rest of the league. Like I really have no idea, honestly, what's going on in the other divisions or what's happening with other teams. I wonder if that's the same for everybody else, but for me, especially because of the time zone, I'm not watching other teams play at all. So that's been also very different for me.
Yeah, definitely for me, like covering both the Wild and Flyers and like trying to write content around them definitely help staying connected with a little bit of those divisions. But like, the Central, I've watched the Canes sometimes, but even like listen to me like complain about staying up to like 10 to watch the Wild play like the Kings or whatever, and you have to like dude, just for like a 7 o'clock Eastern game, just like completely ruin your like next day.
Yeah, it's been a struggle. And now I feel for the fans who always do this. Like I don't permanently live here. Like I'm just here. I've been here since the end of first semester, so I've only been here for like 5 months. But people who just like live in somewhere that's not Eastern time zone or Central or Western time zone-ish areas, wow, it must be really, really hard to be a Leaf fan. You are very, very dedicated if you watch all the games at crazy times.
Yeah, and it's almost like a different experience rewatching games too. Like if you have the full thing in front of you, like, okay, I'll just skip through this. Kind of, oh, there's nothing happening right now, let me just skip through this period or anything. But yeah, that's just so, it's so weird.
Yeah, it's a very different experience, so I'll tell you that.
Yeah, definitely. Anyways, let's move on to the first segment. So Raf, what are you listening to lately?
What am I listening to lately? Okay. Right now, I'm listening to... I'm going to save this part for later because I'm always listening to Frank Ocean. But... Frank Ocean. I'm currently listening to, I don't know why, but I've latched on to The Weeknd's like newish album. Hasn't even been that new, but After Hours. I've like latched onto that and I've just been playing it on repeat. I really like, I know The Weeknd is probably very basic to a lot of people, but the vibe of this album is very interesting to me. I like to just put it on in the background and chill and do whatever I'm doing with the music playing in the background. It feels very like 80s-ish music to me for some reason. It's with the disco and the vibes to it, the synths and stuff like that. So I'm listening to that at the moment a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely, I haven't listened to the full album. I've just like caught the singles a little bit. But again, like you describing like the 80s kind of synthy vibe, like it's definitely kind of a throwback with a little bit of that.
Yeah. Listening to the album like in order, I really like the way the songs all blend together. So yeah, I'm listening to that a lot right now. Mm-hmm. What else am I listening to? I'm currently listening a lot to Psy Ari the Kid. Okay. It's a lot of like R&B type of music. You guys should check him out. He's really cool. Yeah, so I'm mostly listening to The Weeknd's new album and anything by Psy Ari the Kid.
That's sweet. How do you like discover new music? Like, do you like actively kind of pursue like, I want to listen to a completely new artist, or is it like through our other artists you're more familiar with or recommendations here and there?
It's either through like searching up like things that are similar to this artist,
right,
or going through like browsing through, like for example, if I'm in the mood for R&B, I'll browse through like the R&B section of Spotify or Apple Music, and then I'll listen to new artists. Or my brother is really into music, so he puts me on to a lot of different artists. So definitely through recommendations a lot. Like my brother puts me on to a lot of music.
Has it always been like that with your brother?
Yeah, he's like a big music junkie. He listens to everything. So he always puts me on. It's always been like that, which is great. He'll just send me like song recommendations and then we just go from there.
Yeah, like my older sister pretty much like shaped my high school listening and like listening to like Under Oath and like emo shit. But but yeah, like it's always helpful to have an older, is it older or younger? Older?
He's actually a year younger than me.
Okay, but it's just like so into it that like knows the know kind of shit.
Yes, all like the lots of like the music that I probably wouldn't find, like more underground type music, and we have the same type of music taste, which is really good. That's so helpful. If he likes it, like I'll probably like it as well.
Right. Yeah, that's sweet. Like, do you have like a set kind of time to listen, or is it just like whenever you can kind of just listen to new stuff or anything that you're checking out?
So I mentioned like I was in school, so whenever I'm like doing work, I put on music. So I'll browse for music at that point, and I'll listen to music whenever I'm doing work for school. And other than that, like at the nighttime, like evening-ish time, is when I like to listen to music. Usually during the day I'm busy or out or doing something. So yeah, I'm always up for listening to new music, even though I have this tendency to latch on to like an album or an artist and just on repeat for like weeks, just the same exact music.
Is that Frank Ocean for you?
I mean, Frank Ocean, yes, for sure. And right now I'm telling you it's like The Weeknd's new album, like that's been my latch. Frank Ocean at all times, like for years, that's been Frank Ocean for me. I don't think I'm ever gonna get out of that loop.
Well, it seems like a perfect time just to move on to, if we're talking about Frank Ocean anyways, so just in case someone doesn't like read the title of this episode, Raf, could you please tell the audience what your album is?
Okay, my favorite album that if I could only take one album with me, like this type of question, onto like a desert island in the middle of nowhere, it would be Blonde by Frank Ocean. Yes, if I could just take Blonde with me and that's it, I would be happy.
It just like kind of just covers everything for you.
Yes, Blonde is that album for me. And Frank Ocean in general, but specifically Blonde. Like, I remember when I first started listening to Frank Ocean, when I first got put on Frank Ocean, like I think it was my first year of university. Ever since then, it's just been like, I know this is going to be super cringe and like sassy, but you know when you're feeling super horrible or just you're not feeling good? This is just the album that like helped me through times like that. I don't know what it is about Blonde and Frank Ocean in general, but I just associate so many like memories and good feelings like helping me through bad times with Frank Ocean and Blonde in particular. So this is definitely my album.
Yeah, it's just like it kind of works musically that way, I feel like. It's just like gets you in your feelings.
Yes. Honestly, I swear every song, I could fangirl about Blonde forever. Like every song just like means something to me. This is so important to my soul, Frank Ocean and Blonde.
Do you remember your first listen?
Okay, my first ever Frank Ocean song was actually Pyramids from Channel Orange.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys know that album and that song, I definitely recommend listening to Pyramids. It will change your life. But probably my first listen to for Blonde was Nike's. That was the first song I ever heard. And I remember at first I was so confused, like, what is this song? I wasn't used to like music like this. And Nike's in particular, the beginning of the track is very, I guess you could call it, I don't know how to describe it. It's, I guess, just strange at the beginning. The vocals are very weird.
Yeah.
But I was very like intrigued and hooked. And then I listened to the rest of the album and like, I really fell in love. My favorite song from the album is Nights.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if you know that one. It's honestly like a masterpiece, like a 7-minute masterpiece for me.
It's funny because I was doing the re-listening to this and everything. And then I was actually like, okay, if I had to pick one, I was thinking about Nights too. Just like the way that it kind of goes through different styles. And like, it's again, like you're saying, like it's a fairly substantial long song, especially when like the song before it and after it are like just over a minute long. So it's just like, it's just like kind of hits you with it. But then also like it goes through different styles and different beats. Like it's not so like straight ahead. And I feel like that's with a lot of songs on Blonde, where it's like, it's not like, here's a beat, verse, chorus, and then you end it. Like it's very like kind of wishy-washy waves through the album too. But especially
exactly. That's why I love it so much. It's not your standard, like you said, like verse, chorus type of song. The transition just is so good on Nights. It just like blows my mind. Like I love it so, so much. And even the lyrics are just so good. I love them so much on Nights. It's just a really, really good song. If you had to pick another song from Blonde, what would you pick?
Oh, I honestly... It might be White Ferrari.
Ooh, yes. That's such a good ballad. It's such a good one.
Or Solo, honestly. Like, I know James Blake produced it, so I'm just like a huge James Blake fan with that stuff. But yeah, how about you?
I was going to say Solo or Nike's or Pink and White. I really like Pink and White.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I feel like it's such a weird... Like, talking about Nikes, it's, like, such a unique choice to open with that. Especially when it's, like, if you're listening to Frank Ocean for the first time and you're, like, let me put out this one song. And especially that it's, like, it's the single off of it, too. And you don't see that a lot, too, where it's, like, oh, single is the first song on the album kind of thing. Usually you do it, like, 4 or 5, maybe. Mm-hmm. Fitting, like, structurally. But, like, And then also, first off the bat, like, you hear that, like, chipmunk voice. And you're like, oh, yes. Like, what is this? Like, if you're listening to Frank for the first time, you're like, what is this? I don't want to listen to this. Like,
it's like I said, that was maybe my second Frank Ocean song. And right. I was so confused. I was like, what is happening? What are these vocals? At the same time, I was so intrigued. Like, who, like you said, who starts a song like this? Who starts an album like this? It's just so different. And then especially because you don't see that, I guess, type of vocal in the rest of the album at all. Like, it doesn't really resurface. Yeah. So it's just very unique. And I think Frank is just like that. Even in his other albums, he has these like weird choices and these like interesting either vocals or, I don't know, the background music is sometimes really interesting. He just pulls me in as an artist. I just love him so much.
Yeah, like, he's definitely one of those people that like gets mainstream recognition and attention for everything he does, but then like draws people in to other stuff as well. Like, I noticed, I was reading like a couple reviews of his, like, it's like quasi like avant-garde art to a point. It's like this, especially with like his release before it, like that one visual album that he did where basically like, I think it was a live stream. It was like he live streamed the album that people could just tune into, but it was also like a visual thing. I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was like a room with like a chair, and it was like,
yes, he's like building something or fixing something or painting something. I can't remember, but
yeah,
I think it's called like, Endless.
Yeah, that's it. It's just like a unique way where like he's so popular, but then he's bringing in these like other influences that he's clearly like connected to in like the non-mainstream, because that's like corny to say, but like you don't see really artists with that, like the audience that he has, doing stuff like that.
Yeah, and I know this is not the album, like a different Frank Ocean album, but even if you look at Channel Orange, like a lot of the music there is also so, like the vibe is so different and so unique as well. Like I said, Pyramids from that album is just so good. I guess most people, if they don't know Frank Ocean, but you probably would know this Frank Ocean song, which is like Thinking About You, is probably the most mainstream of his songs, I would think.
Yeah, probably because of the Vine too, but
yeah, exactly. but I really like on that album, Pink Matter is really good. Mm-hmm. That song just makes me cry in my feels. The vocals, his voice is just amazing. Yeah, he's just great. I love Frank with all my heart.
It's just like, and especially thinking like of how much effort he puts like into all this stuff, like, because he is producing, like he has a hand on every single track and it's like his project. And it's like the production on this is like, especially on Blonde, where it's so simple. Like some songs might just be like a guitar track that like sounds so like bare, but then it's like because of the simplicity and because of like everything behind it, it's just so powerful. Like you were saying, like it's just like his vocals carry so much of the weight throughout this whole album.
Yeah, he's so great. I wish he released music more often. How long has it been since Blonde? It's been like 5 years now. When did it come out? 2016?
2016, yeah.
It's been too long. I need more. I need my Frank Ocean fix. The singlety releases are not enough. I need more.
Do you? When you listen to Blonde, is it like a full album thing? Like, do you start like top to bottom? Because it is like a very friendly, like full listen. Or do you like kind of stick with the singles?
Honestly, I listen through to the whole thing. I even listen to the tracks that are not actually music, where it's just like, I think it's called "Be Yourself," where he's recording his mother talking to him on the phone, as a like an intro between, I think, Pink and White and Solo.
Yeah.
I listen to the whole thing. If there's one song that I skip, it's probably Pretty Sweet. It's the one song that I don't listen to on the album. If I go through all of it, like,
is there a reason? Listen through.
I think it's been one of the only Frank Ocean songs that I just don't like that much. The the key that it's in is very strange. I wish I was musically inclined enough to know the key that this song is in, but it's not like easy on the ears, and the key that he sings in is not that great. So that's probably the song that I skip on the album. But everything else, I do listen to it like fully through. Like I said, sometimes I'm just in a Frank Ocean mood, and I'll just click on his name and just listen through all of his music in one, in the same order, like the order it's supposed to be in.
Yeah, it's like, so, it's just one of those, like, one of those artists that you can't really just get enough of. And I feel like it's just so, like, in that time as well, like, especially like 2016 too, where it's like, I think Channel Orange was itself, like, maybe it's because it was so popular, but it seems like a very, like, that was that era of music. It was very, like, in its own thing. But I feel like Blonde is, like, kind of timeless to a point. Like, it was touching on a lot of things, especially in the lyrics that are, like, it's so, like, it was obviously a conversation back then, but then now it's, like, everyone's talking about it. So, like, it's just, I don't know, I feel like it's just a timeless album, and if you're still listening to it, obviously it is.
Yeah, it's, for me, it's timeless. Blonde is just, like you said, I always listen to it. I don't think I'll ever get enough of Blonde. It's been like now, what, since it came out? So 5 years of me just listening to it. Like, it just came out yesterday. So yeah, it's definitely that album for me. I never get tired of it. Other albums I go through, like I said, I always have this phase where I'll latch onto an album and I'll listen to it nonstop for like a few weeks, and then I'll never listen to it again for like years. But it just hasn't happened for Blonde. Ever since it came out, I just have not stopped listening to it. Yeah,
do you like, so you were saying how you just like didn't stop listening to it. It's like it's actually been consistently like through the 5 years of always kind of in your rotation.
Yes, all the time. I'm of course there are like different moods. Not every mood isn't necessarily a Frank Ocean mood, but if I'm listening to music, it's, I always consider listening to Blonde. Whether I'm like by myself in my room or just chilling with whoever in the car, whatever it is. In the last 5 years, this has been an album for me where I honestly have not stopped listening to it. I can confidently say.
Yeah, it's such a good album. Like sometimes when like in past episodes of this, like it's only been 9 other episodes, but sometimes I'm like, okay, like maybe like this album's okay. And then like, we'll just talk about kind of whatever. And then, but like, honestly, it's so wild that like immediately when you said Blonde, I was like so hyped because I love this album so much. Like, I don't even know what else to say about it, because it's just like, it's just so good. Like, it's just like any, and probably everyone that has like is listening to this podcast right now has listened to it at least once, especially how hyped up it was. And like, even for like people that only knew him through like Odd Future stuff, like his connection with like Tyler and Earl and everyone, like, and then just his features on their stuff. And then, but like everyone's probably listened to this album, and like no one can kind of come away with it that it's like, it might not be their stuff, like their kind of thing, but it's still like, it's just so good. Like, have you just like spread the word of Frank to everyone and anyone that hasn't listened to it?
Literally, yes. I was saying earlier how my brother puts me onto music. I can confidently say that I put my brother onto Frank Ocean and Blonde specifically. Like, I kept bugging him to listen to Frank and Blonde for like weeks, until I finally listened to it, and he also fell in love with him. And I do it to all my friends. I'm always like, please, everybody, listen to Frank Ocean, listen to Blonde. You will not regret it. You will not regret it at all. So no, I definitely try to preach the Blonde gospel to as many people as possible.
Have you ever had a negative reaction from anyone?
A negative reaction? I wouldn't say that it's a negative reaction, but like you said, how some people can appreciate the album, but then at the same time, like, it's not just their style of music. I think I've had like reactions like that where they can say that it's good, but that it's just not their type of thing. This type of music is not something that they listen to consistently. But no. Nobody has ever outright told me it's bad. If they would, I would kill them. I'm coming over and murder will be done.
Yeah. Just live threats on the podcast. Our first threat.
Yes.
Wow. Anyways, we'll move on to the next segment that maybe we'll fill with another a threat. Ref, is there anything that you can recommend to the audience? A book, article, movie, show that you're checking out? Anything that they should really pay attention to other than Frank Ocean after their daily blonde listen?
Good question. Okay. This is going to sound very, let me see. Is that a book, article, or a movie?
Whatever you feel, like any medium you're feeling.
Okay. If you're interested in like, I guess, socialist, like economics, or I guess, yeah, just sort of like, I guess that's the best description I can give. I would recommend reading The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein. I read that book, and that book really changed my life and my view on a lot of things. It's a very, very, very good book. It's really easy to read. The style that it's written in is really easy to read. I know like some other types of theory, it's sometimes heavy. But this is not at all. It's like a really, really good book. So I would probably recommend The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein. I can't think of a movie at the moment.
That's good enough, honestly. No one can deny a good anti-capitalist book. We've had we've already had a lot of recommendations with anti-capitalist literature and just general articles or anything to check out, so it kind of fits with the whole idea of the show, really.
Okay, good, awesome. Yeah, I definitely recommend The Shock Doctrine then. It's a very, very good book, especially if you're interested in like learning about I guess why America conducted the coups in Latin America in like the 70s and the 80s. It goes through like neoliberal policy and how all that started. So it's a very, very good read.
Yeah. When did you read it? Like, was it like a recent read or like kind of a formulating read earlier on?
So I was in a book club in the fall and like the winter-ish time. And we were going through a bunch of like different like communist, socialist type of like anti-capitalist books to read. Like we read Our Prison's Obsolete, we read obviously the Communist Manifesto, we read a bunch of different things, and this was one of the books that we read. So I probably read it in like November, and since then I've just been like shocked. I went through a period where I would just look at videos of Naomi Klein like talking about her book and how she wrote it and the things she did. Like she went to Latin America, I believe she went to, I'm not sure if she went to Argentina or Chile. But since then, it's just been an obsession for me. It'll be a very sad but important read, I think, for a lot of people if you're interested in this kind of thing.
Yeah, like especially even where it's like, it's so important that that stuff is easily digestible. Like even listening to, I don't know if you listened to it, but the Blowback podcast about the Iraq War was season one, and they're doing one about Cuba. That just got released, I think just episode one so far. But it's just like, it's like done in an entertaining and like humorous way, but then also like, look at all these like neoliberal idiots that like just went along like playing like old Hillary Clinton, like supporting the Iraq War quotes and like all that stuff. And it's just like, just look at, like, you're listening to it for entertainment, but then it's also like, look at all this stuff that is easily like forgotten about, like that kind of easy digestion is kind of important.
That's awesome. What is that called, actually? I haven't listened to it, but it sounds very interesting.
Blowback.
Yeah, okay, just one word. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's really good. Really, the first one's all about the Iraq War, and it kind of goes chronologically. One of the hosts is from Chapo Trap House, so then it's like kind of explored in that way. But yeah, it's, I honestly highly recommend it. I haven't checked out the Cuba season yet. But it's just like, obviously going about the US sanctions of Cuba and all that stuff. But yeah.
That's really good. I'll have to check that out. Actually, if I could recommend a podcast as well,
yeah.
I would definitely recommend listening to Citations Needed.
Okay.
It's a very, very good like media criticism podcast. They go through like, it's mainly centered around US media and like American media, but they go through all sorts of like events and things that the media currently does, and they criticize it from an anti-capitalist like social justice sort of arm wing, and it's very good. It's very well researched, and the hosts are very, very like captivating. So I definitely recommend listening to Citations Needed. Anytime there's like a news piece, like something in the news on Twitter, I swear there is always a Citations Needed episode for it at all times. It's so relevant, and you can definitely binge it. There's like 100-something episodes out now. So
oh, perfect.
If you need something to binge during quarantine, or if you guys are still at home and you just need something to do, I definitely recommend Citations Needed. It's very, very good.
Yeah. I love like checking out new podcasts and listen to like one episode and then be like, okay, I should probably listen to all of this. And then just having it like constantly just on in your house, just like doing whatever, just walking around. And you're like, okay, I've listened to like the equivalent of a year's worth of weekly podcasts and like, 2 days, but yeah.
That was literally me with this. I went on a humongous binge. Now I'm all caught up and I'm like, no, I need more.
Yeah, it just feels weird waiting for it, right? Just like, oh no. Like I'm like listening to podcasts that are from like 2019 and be like, this is pre-pandemic. This is so weird. Like they don't know. They don't know, man. Like
they don't know what's about to happen to the world.
Oh, amazing. Anyways, Rahaf, where could people check your stuff out if you have anything to plug, and where can people find you on social media and all that stuff?
Okay, so on Twitter you guys can follow me at Rahaf_Issa, and you guys can check me out on Zone Time at Yahoo Sports. We do like weekly like NHL videos, so you can check me out there. But mostly you can find anything I'm going to talk about on Twitter. So it's just Rahaf_Issa.
Perfect. And everyone, you can follow the podcast at big_shiny_goons. You could follow me at No Salary Attained, and please rate and review, follow, subscribe, like, all that stuff that you could do to the podcast. It really helps out. And Rahaf, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about Blonde.
No problem. Thank you so much for allowing me to come on and fangirl the Blonde.
Anytime. Honestly, we'll have like a midweek, like Frank Ocean track by track.
Perfect. Sign me up.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem.